Good morning, Om Shanti. This morning we're delighted and I think blessed to have with us Sister Genty. I was thinking about how to introduce Sister Genty. She is, apart from being one of the key administrative heads of this institution, she also represents the Brahma Kumaris at a number of different forums, including, as you've heard yesterday, the United Nations climate change conferences and many other things. And I was trying to think where she's based. She's basically one of the true global citizens these days. I think she's based wherever she finds herself because she travels so widely. But amongst all those activities, she's made time to be with us today and tomorrow. So we're very grateful for that. Yesterday and earlier in the week, you've been hearing about the karma from Sister Shivani, and yesterday the drama and the cycle of time from Sister Manda. Sister Genty's going to help us today tie those things together. So we welcome you. Thank you, Genty Ben.
Thank you, Frank. Om Shanti. I'm recognizing many friends and happy to meet all the new ones also. So very happy to be here with you. It's interesting that I hear two types of comments about both karma and drama. Some people find the subject of drama absolutely fascinating and they're really interested and it resonates with them. And some people say, drama, it's too complicated for me. I don't want to go there. I don't want to think about a cycle that repeats eternally. And the same for karma. Sometimes people feel trapped by karma. And sometimes when they understand the detail of karma philosophy, they feel it's a fantastic liberation because it opens up the door for the future. And so I'm not sure which one of you fit into which camp, or all of you are somewhere in the middle. It's okay. But the subject of karma first, and then we'll see how it links up with drama. It's very simple. My thoughts, my words, my actions are the seeds that I sow today that I will reap in the future. But also, whatever it is I've done in the past, again, not just action, but my thoughts and my words and my actions have created the situation I find myself in today. And so past is linked with the present, and the present is absolutely linked with the future. Except that it doesn't quite go in a straight line, because today's action has been determined by something from the past. And before that, something else, something else. Trace it back and you'll find the story of the seed and the tree. Here's a tree. It came from a seed. Where did the seed come from? It came from a tree. And so you go around a full circle. And when you start seeing karma, not just in the present context, but you see it in its circular form, then you realize that that's the drama. And so very often you can even say that karma and drama, these words are interchangeable. When I say this is my karma, it's true, and I could be saying it with a sense of elation and joy. This is my karma. Wonderful. Well, it's also my drama. And sometimes when I'm feeling a bit low and I say, what sort of karma did I do to deserve this? And so that karma that I did and I'm experiencing now is also my drama. Drama takes in absolutely everything. It takes in the subject of matter, nature, animal kingdom. Drama takes in the subject of humanity, the whole story of human beings, his story, her story, the story of humanity. And so drama is totally inclusive, and it's what's happening with me and around me and for me, everything that's going on here. And so how did I find myself here? My drama, but it's also my karma. And so it's my good karma, good fortune, that's brought me to a place which is sacred, a pilgrimage place where I can take benefit and find good company that elevates me further. So it's my karma that gave me this fortune, and it's also my drama. So it doesn't take a lot to understand that karma and drama are totally working together. And yes, then to accept each moment as being something which is of benefit and something which is helping me move forward to my destination, that takes a little bit of patience and introspection, because we challenge drama all the time. People who understand the word karma don't usually challenge karma. How can you challenge it? It's what I've done, and so this is the result. But when you don't know the connection of karma and drama, then a scene comes in front of you and you challenge it. Why is it like this? It shouldn't be like this. Can I make it different? Yes, I can make everything different for tomorrow. I can make everything different even for today. But whatever it is that's been done, the milk has been spilled, or the milk has been curdled, whatever it is, but it's done. And then yes, the beautiful intervention of God within the drama is incredibly powerful, because God's intervention in the drama is to change the story of action, reaction, action, reaction, and in several ways to help us stop at this point and see what is my story of karma and how can I make it different if I want to make it different. How can I make it different for the future, and not even just for myself, but even for others around me? Or even, dare I say it, can it make a difference to the world? Yes, it can. You plant one seed and you get the fruit of that. But at some point in the 60s, scientists, agricultural scientists, were generating seeds that had a greater potential, a greater capacity, so that every seed could bring 100-fold. And they found ways to do that. A little bit of the same story applies to the present time now. God's intervention within the drama, where we've managed to accumulate so much, so much, so much karma that the drama is really very sad, very tragic in many, many different ways at this moment. And human beings on their own are not able to manage to change that burden of karma. We moved from a period when there was truth and love and justice to a state where there's injustice in so many, many different areas. You know those stories more than I do. And the burden of karma that every individual is carrying means that there's never a complete state of happiness. Happiness comes and it goes, it evaporates. It comes for a short while and it's gone. And so the story of karma and whatever it is we've managed to do for many, many births, many, many years, is a whole build-up, a big burden. And so whether it's my physical health, my mental health, my emotional health, my spiritual health, or whether it's relationships, definitely we see that they're less than perfect. Is there one perfect relationship I can say that I'm engaged in? There'll always be something. And then we'll say, well, that's human nature. True. But that's the point, that any type of health is not perfect. Any type of relationship isn't perfect. Physical conditions aren't as I would want them to be externally in terms of the world. And so at the end of the cycle, the only one who can change the story of karma, for me personally, but also for the whole of humanity, is the Divine. And the Divine gives us understanding of what's going on, but more than the understanding, God teaches us yoga. How to have yoga with one, so that then we're able to, with the power of yoga, settle the accounts of the past without having to go through physical pain or emotional or any other type of pain in that settlement. Tomorrow, when we take up the subject of God's powers, we'll explore that in more detail. But I wanted to bring this topic in this context of how the drama can swing around. Because all the time, from the Golden Age to the Iron Age, and instead of a cycle, think of it as a linear plan, the energy that I start with, that energy reduces to this point where there's very little energy left. And so we have wonderful ideas, great ideals, but neither are we able to live up to our own ideals, and nor do we have the capacity to fulfill our ideas and make them take practical form. Or so often, our conscience tells us one thing, and our emotions go another way, and instead of listening to the voice of conscience, because of the lack of power within, or the lack of purity within, we follow our emotions. So many different ways in which you can see that the inner battery has really come to the point of being almost totally discharged. Not quite. A little glimmer of that remains, but just a tiny little bit. And so God's intervention is to recharge human souls and give them the power, the purity, to be able to settle all the karma of the past through yoga and good karma, but also swing the cycle around to the earlier state. And so entropy has set in. And when you come to the point where there's very little energy left, it needs an injection of energy that's going to turn the whole cycle around. And so we see three things working together. We see the power of God, we see the power of time. Another word for drama could also be time. And so we see the power of time, and we see the power of human souls. Now, God manages to bring souls and time together into alignment. We are usually not so aligned. I'm here today and I'm thinking, well, I wish I could have come here earlier, or why am I here today? I should be somewhere else. And so we don't understand the drama, we don't understand how time is working and how the seasons rhyme. They work absolutely in coordination. At the end of the cycle, the seasons don't work very well in coordination. But that's because of human intervention and interference. But otherwise, the normal cycle works absolutely in harmony. The birds know when it's time to go to their beds and sleep in their nests. The birds know when it's time to travel from Siberia to Rajasthan. How do they know? They know, and they come. And now all our satellites and all the communication systems that we love so much, that are beautiful and fantastic, but they're confusing the birds, they're confusing the bees, they're confusing the whole cycle of nature, and so everything's out of sync. But God comes to realign human souls with nature, with drama, with time. But first of all, align within themselves also, first step. And so my karma, when I'm in a state of soul consciousness, God consciousness, and not just for a moment, but in a very sustained way through the day, so that yoga, then my karma is going to be of benefit for me and benefit for all around me. If my karma is something else, causing grief to me and grief to others around me, that's telling me that it's not good karma. It's not karma that's motivated by the energy from above. It's karma that's being motivated by the negativity that I'm still carrying within myself. That's causing me grief and grief to others also. And so if I keep reminding myself that I am the creator of my own drama, do you agree with that? Who agrees? It's good. The majority. And some of you are still thinking about it, which is fine. You still have a few days here, a couple of days, and then you have a long journey back home. So lots of time to reflect on all the things you've heard and haven't quite made sense of. Take your notebook on your plane with you and go through your notes, and there's lots of time to reflect. But yes, I am the creator of my own drama. It's beautiful to know this, because then there's no complaints and there's no blame. Otherwise, the state of human souls is that everything is somebody else's fault. Even a little child. How did the glass break? Well, it fell off. It moved with a will of its own, decided to fall off. Difficult for the child to say, yeah, I dropped it. But this is what they see adults do, shift the blame, and so children learn the same game. But when I understand karma and drama together, and I have that absolute understanding that I have created my drama as it is now, but I also have the opportunity and the fortune and the understanding and the power to create the future that I would like to have. Not just for myself, but for the world also. But yes, it begins with me. I have to sort out myself first and make sure that the negativity that I carry is removed through the power of God's love. And yes, then whatever I do is filled with that, and that will be the future, a world of love. One of the time, drama, karma, that some of you would have had the fortune of meeting one of the dadis or another of the dadis. And if you met a dadi, you know who they were. If you don't know the word dadi, then you probably haven't met them. Who met one of the dadis? Some. Why I mention them, when we use the word dadi, it's in India, the word dadi usually means grandmother, or it means a very senior elder. But within the Brahma Kumaris, it refers very categorically to the souls who were the founding members of the Brahma Kumaris, those who came right at the very beginning when Brahma Baba started the organization, and they joined at that time. So they had the space of 14 years of intense meditation, 13 in what is today called Pakistan in Karachi, and 1 year in Abu. And then after 14 years of intense meditation, they went out first to India, all the corners, and then the rest of the world, sharing their experiences and their wisdom and their presence, most of all. And we would see the dadis do absolutely everything they did with love. Whether it was meeting individuals, and position or background made no difference. The head of the organization, Dadi Prakash Mani, she would read the morning lesson in Om Shanti Bhavan. Have you visited Panta Bhavan yet? No, you're doing that today. So Om Shanti Bhavan was the place where she would read the Murli. Prior to that, it was a much smaller space, but for many years it was Om Shanti Bhavan. And then she would come down the steps and she would sit in the courtyard. And we would usually come during the winter months or the cooler months from October through to April. And the sunshine in the morning is a sweet warmth. It's not a harsh sun. It's a very sweet warmth. And so she would sit in the courtyard in the sunshine, and it was open court. Whoever wanted to see her, whoever wanted to meet her, she was there available for every single one. Now, being available is a sign of love. Dadi Janki, who lived in London with us for 40 years and then came back to resettle here, but also continued to travel abroad frequently, she would move from one building, Diamond House, to the next building, Global House, coming down the stairs and down to the courtyard, where there'd be a car waiting to take her off here or there. She could have come down in the lifts and gone straight to the car, or she could have just gone down to the underground car park and gone in 2 minutes, 3 minutes to the car. But she would allow 15 minutes to come from one building down to the next. And some of you would recall that scene. She would carry a little silver box in her hand, and it would be filled with peeled almonds, and she would be handing out those almonds to to every single individual she met along the way. So sometimes a little box wasn't enough. So there'd be another sister with her carrying a bigger box. And it was a very sweet. And what was she doing? She was again just making herself available, just connecting with every person she met with that drishti, that vision of love. And so everything for them was an act of love, whether it was visiting the kitchen, visiting the construction site. This place was barren land, and now you see all the trees and the flowers and everything. The people who sold it to us said it was infertile, and that's why they wanted to sell it. So we took it, and we didn't intend to create orchards and gardens and things, but it was meant to be the academy for study. But after a couple of years, we experimented. The flowers and fruits and everything started to come up very naturally. So vibrations are very much part of the whole scheme of things within drama. So the power of love changes the quality of karma and makes even a simple action become very pure, elevated action. It becomes the inspiration for many, many others. One individual act of kindness can inspire 125 people. That's a fact, research by Harvard. But no need to go into the detail of that now. But the same thing applies. The seed of karma, filled with God's power, and the power of that seed brings hundredfold results. So then it's no more one seed, one karma, one result, but it's one karma filled with God's love, God's remembrance, and a hundredfold result. Benefit for me, benefit for everyone around me. And so the entry of the divine in a very practical way within the story of karma and drama switches souls from their state of no power to total power, from the state of no energy to being completely full, from the state of impurity to total purity. And as souls go through this transformation, and God's vibrations and the vibrations of everybody who's connected with the divine swings the cycle around from the Iron Age into the Golden Age. And it doesn't take long. Today we were reading in our lesson that we study every day, the same lesson studied across the world in 120 countries. And so the lesson today was how when you're constructing something new, it doesn't take very long. Maybe it's a house and it'll take maybe 12 months. But the period that whatever it is you've constructed, the period that it lasts is like 100 years. You've constructed a building, 12 months, and hopefully it'll last 100 years. And so the period of the confluence age is a period of the new beginning, the age of reconstruction. The recreation of the soul and the transformation of the soul through God's teachings and karma, and the reconstruction of the world around us through vibrations, through good actions, through pure thoughts, God's love, many ingredients, but all those ingredients come together and the whole world is renewed. So comparatively speaking, thousands of years and only a very short space of time now, when we understand the secrets of karma, and we also understand the secrets of the drama. And all of these things are eternal. Soul never dies. Drama never ends. The soul moves from one body to another. You've had this lesson, and I'm sure you can have a good discussion about it in your next session. But the soul keeps moving. Drama keeps moving. Drama never comes to an end. There's an end, but the end is also the beginning. It's a cycle. And karma, again, takes us through a cycle. But a time now to have such powerful yoga that I don't need to go through the suffering that whatever bad karma I've done would normally bring. And I don't need to work hard on a physical level to bring about a beautiful future. What I do need to do is to have attention. Attention on the quality of my thoughts. Attention on raising my own energy level so that I'm able to reach my own highest potential, so that the power of the soul is again refilled, the purity level comes to its original state. And so this is what this period, this confluence age, is all about. The most interesting time in human history, the most challenging time in human history, for the most beautiful time of all, when you can have a vision of a better world in front of you, which can be a reality, which will be a reality, but you can also see exactly what are the steps you need to take and what it is you need to do to make that vision become real. And so karma, drama, working together, hand in hand. Very often there's a situation where I understand what karma I should be doing, but I don't have capacity. Or I haven't cultivated the relationships that I need to have, because so often, if it's just karma for me alone, my eating and drinking and sleeping and whatever it is I do, I could, in theory, do all that myself. But when it's doing something of significance, especially something from which others can benefit, it's not possible to do it on my own. It has to be cultivation of relationships. And if I haven't given attention to that sort of karma, the karma of engaging with others, the karma of supporting others, the karma of giving cooperation when it's needed. Then when I need cooperation, I look around and there's nobody helping, and I say, what happened? Well, I have to look at my past and see what happened. And not just look at the past, but okay, here I am, no cooperation. Can I do something about it? Yes, I can. Can I start giving cooperation? And if I start giving cooperation to this one, this one, this one, this one, not with that thought that, oh, I'm going to need their support further down the line, but just simply out of God's love. They're my family, they're on the same journey, can I support them in some way or another? If I do this, then I'll find drama is also cooperating and supporting. But where I look at the drama and I challenge it and say, why are you like this? You shouldn't be like this. And I have anxiety or fear or disrespect for drama, non-acceptance of drama, then that again means that I'm digging a hole for myself. I'm letting that situation get worse and worse and worse instead of understanding how I can change it. But acceptance, and that doesn't mean just being passive and sitting back, but an inner state in which I understand there's significance behind everything that's going on. And so I accept the drama as it is today. And I begin to work with drama. If drama is giving me a signal, can I understand that signal and move in that direction? Drama is all right, just as karma is always right. Karma doesn't have consciousness, but action, reaction, it's fixed. Until I get to the point where I learn how to deal with the past and change, that it's fixed. In the same way, drama is fixed. It's moving in an absolutely straight line. My mind is wanting to go here. And then I'm saying, but why isn't drama supporting me? Well, drama is saying, go here. And I'm pushing, and I'm saying, no, I want to go there. And so there's a disconnect there that causes a lot of anxiety, a lot of frustration, maybe even anger and bitterness and harshness. And so I need to sort out something in here. I don't need to sort out the drama. Drama is doing what is right. But I need to sort out what's going on in here. And God's truth, God's wisdom, God's love gradually melts all my resistance. And I begin to say, with grace, with dignity, yes, I understand. And then I accept the drama. And once I've accepted the drama, and I take it a step further, can I make drama my friend? Just as I can make karma my friend, I can make my mind my friend. At the moment, for most of us, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. But I need to learn to make my mind my friend. I also need to learn to make drama my friend. And not just say, okay, hands up, I accept. But just say with a lot of love and sweetness, you're sweet. Drama, you're benevolent. Drama, you're good. You know how they tame wild horses? An Australian horse tamer once told me, you just have to whisper sweet things into its ear. And the horse will become your friend, will become tame, and will take you to your destination. So talk to your mind sweetly, not harshly, and it'll be your friend, and it'll take you to your destination. Karma, talk to karma sweetly, and appreciate how much good karma there has been, and the beauty of the drama. We still have food to eat, we still have clean water to drink, we still have fresh air to breathe. I didn't make it, you didn't make it, drama has provided it. We don't even say that God has created it, for just as the soul is eternal, drama is eternal, all the elements of drama are also eternal. And even though we've damaged nature to such a great, great, great extent, yet still, drama is benevolent, and drama is still taking care of us. So when I start talking to drama, recognizing its benevolence, and how drama is carrying me to my destination. If I get stuck in a rut, that's me. Drama is moving on. And if I get stuck, I'm going to get left behind. But drama is saying, come with me, we'll move forward together. And so the sweetness of drama is very beautiful. And then you see how everything begins to synchronize. I don't know whether you've had this experience, but so often, so many people tell me, especially in Madhuban, Jansruver, they say that I think of someone and they appear. Most people don't carry phones around with them. And but you just have to think of something and it happens. And so there's a synchronicity in energy and in the drama and good karma. And so everything works together and things happen in a very beautiful way. And so I need to learn to love myself. I need to learn to love karma. And I need to learn to love drama. And things begin to come together in a very synchronistic way and things move forward. Just imagine how nature has been working until the last 50 years or so. Everything synchronizing perfectly. Human bodies, I know little bits and pieces go wrong, but generally speaking, the synchronization of all the systems and all the cells and everything within the body, amazing. And so drama is meant to be synchronistic and we should be synchronized with it. And so anytime something happens, can you say to yourself, sweet drama? Instead of thinking, oh my God, or reacting, oh no, why is this happening? No, just understand there's significance in the drama and there's sweetness and beauty. And I'm sure that some of you are thinking of all the tragic things that are happening across in the world, which is also a reality, it is a fact. What we are seeing is the final scenes of the drama of violence and negativity and the force of those. And sometimes the force of negativity that's pulling us down seems greater than the power of goodness and the power of truth. But we're seeing the final scenes and we're seeing the point where things will collapse and the good, the beauty, the truth will be visible. There are two energies working together. There's the downward energy, the descending energy of negativity and the full force of that, but the quiet. The destructive energy is very noisy. The creative energy is very quiet, very silent. When spring comes, it doesn't come with a fanfare. It comes quietly. And you start noticing the fresh green buds. You start noticing new things germinate. So the goodness, the power of the Golden Age is beginning to manifest gradually, slowly. So even those of you who've been witness to horrific scenes of tragedy within the last year, especially within the last year, I know that there's a power of goodness that's brought you here. And you're seeing the power of goodness becoming more and more manifest. And the more individuals and groups combine together with that energy, the energy of love, of truth, of wisdom, that energy is going to flourish and that energy, it's not going to take long now. It's just a very short while to go because we're reaching the critical mass. You know, when there's something that a majority believes in and there's a new idea that comes. That new idea comes very gently, very softly. It takes hold of a few people, and a group, a small group of committed individuals are able to bring about transformation in a positive direction. I'm paraphrasing Margaret Mead, but that was basically what she was saying. Whenever anything good has happened in the world, it hasn't been the majority who said this should happen, it's been a minority. But the commitment of that minority and the power of that minority reaches a critical mass, and it then has become, it becomes acceptable to the majority, and there's a change. I think we're very, very close to that point of critical mass at this moment. I don't need to describe the power of the descending energy, but yes, we can see the other energy also now more and more clearly. So this period of transformation is a time of paradoxes. It's a time of conflicting energies, but there's no question about it. If you have darkness, you don't fight the darkness. You bring in the light. One little candle brings light to the entire space. It doesn't fight with the darkness. The darkness is dispelled. And so what each one of us is that soul that has light, and wherever you go, you can share that light with others around you. And if there's two of you, five of you, ten of you, then the light becomes more and more intense and it spreads out everywhere. So I think that point of critical mass is now very, very close, where things will literally turn around. And that transformation from the old to the new will happen very fast. The movement towards it is slow, but the final change will be very quick. I know this from a very powerful individual who was our trance messenger. Again, I know some of you here in this part of the room knew her very well, Dadi Gulzar. She was at one point the chief of the organization also. But she came to the Brahma Kumaris when she was 9 years old, and then seven. She came when she was seven, and then when she was nine, she came with her mother to stay full time in the ashram, and a soul who traveled many places across the world. And we asked her, Daddy, how long will it take for that final transition to happen? And she said, it'll happen in a flash. And it wasn't just with her own authority, because she was in so close communication with the divine, it struck a chord that that's how that change will happen. So karma, coming to the point where I need to settle the karma of the past, not with suffering, but with the power of you. And I need to do a huge amount of good karma. Can I do everything that I do in the consciousness of soul and divine? Yes, it's possible. Yes, there'll be moments when you need to totally focus on whatever is your task in the world out there. But that done, go back again into soul consciousness. Come out, and the work that you need to do will be done in half the time, guarantee. Because you'll be focused, you'll be concentrated, you'll be able to get to the essence and do whatever you need to do. And you'll be able to get back again into your yogic state. Yoga, karma, karma, yoga. You'll move in and out of that very easily. And drama, drama is definitely moving to the golden age. No question about it. The needle of time doesn't get stuck. We get stuck. Time doesn't get stuck. Every moment as it goes by is different. Everything is different. It's just my attitude that sometimes gets stuck. Everything else is changing. My body is changing, the atmosphere is changing, everything is changing. But I now have to learn to move step in step with drama, so that if drama says this, I say yes. Drama says this, I say yes. And I continue to use the power of drama to come to my own state of perfection. My effort is to be able to come to that state of total purity and that state of perfection in which all qualities are again absolutely visible within the soul and are manifest in the way I behave and do what I need to do. And drama, I just simply have to love it and say yes to it. I don't need to do anything about it. But whatever has happened in the past, what I do need to do is to say, okay, full stop, that's the end, no more. I'm not going to revisit it and go back to it. This happened, that happened, and the other happened, full stop. Whatever did, it happened. But now, what do I want to do today? Then in that awareness, drama and karma are aligned together totally. What I'd like us to do for the next 10 minutes or so is to have a meditation in which we reflect deeply on this subject. I'll speak out my own thoughts as I reflect, and I'm sure you've been through this before, and you let your mind follow those ideas. Sitting quietly, I focus on the eternal being that I am. The body has a date of beginning and it has a date of ending. The soul is eternal, immortal. I step into the consciousness of either soul, detached from the body, and I can feel the past stretching behind me and the future ahead of me. And as I move through the eternal cycle, every step I take becomes the past, the future becomes the present, and a new vista, a new future opens up in front of me. In this awareness of how the past, present, and future all come together at this moment in my story, I don't just know that I'm a soul, but I can feel the eternity of the soul. How long have I existed? How long will I continue to exist? I am eternal. No beginning and no end. I exist forever. And in this awareness of the eternal soul, I connect with the divine. The being of love, of truth, of benevolence, the Supreme. And in this presence, my inner power purity, peace and love are restored. This connection with the divine recharges the soul. So that I can become full. And with this fullness, I can reach my own highest potential. Through this recharging, I am transformed. I can let go of the things that are unnecessary. And carry with me the things that are useful. And I see many, many others of the human family also going through this process of transformation. The power of God's love, the power of God's truth, transforms not only human beings, that transforms the entire landscape of the planet. So that nature itself is cleansed. All living creatures experience safety and protection. And the very elements of nature are purified. And nature is restored to its original state of purity and power. The entire planet is renewed with God's light. Keeping this vision in my awareness, I come back to the moment here and now, but carrying the gifts from God. So that I use them in all that I do. Om Shanti. Thank you.